Oh yeah, here we come, bros, with another installment of the Bart and Bombi Show. We're honing in on 50 shows, Joseph. You're bringing me home, you're doing the do for these fans. And what do the Lakers give you in return?
A big fat loss to the Heat to end our win streak. What a joke, Brozov.
That was a freaking terrible game, man. I wish I had that 3 hours of my life back.
Yeah, is that that's all you have to say to the people, Brozov?
Yeah, man, it was terrible. I'm so upset right now, man. I'm a little lighter in the pocket because of that game. I'm sitting here, I'm watching. I mean, did they? The Heat do not deserve to win that game. Now they're gonna now for the next freaking 3 weeks we're gonna hear about how great the Heat are on SportsCenter when all the last 2 weeks we've been hearing about how terrible they are. Now they beat the Lakers, they're the greatest thing ever.
Now you know why all of us love it when the Lakers win. Not only does our hometown team rip it up, dominate, but we don't have to hear Joe whine like this. This is what happens, ladies and gentlemen. If Joe loses a bet in Vegas, when the Lakers go down, if Kobe doesn't have a good night, let's say if the guy goes maybe, what, 8 for 21 tonight, Brozov? Didn't really get everybody involved. Pau Gasol had a night. Other than that, you know, even 20 points and 5 boards for Gasol tells me, you know, just looking at the stat line, wasn't that involved. Watch the game, wasn't that involved. It was more people just standing around watching Kobe, and this is what Laker fans fear the most, isn't it, Joseph?
Well, I mean, I don't know, man. It's anytime Kobe goes Kobe, we lose, you know? And I don't know. It really scares me. I'm hoping that we don't do this in the playoffs because we obviously, you know, you don't have a lot of room for error. But, man, it was a really frustrating game to watch, dude. I mean, I don't know. It's just, I don't even know what to say, man. If we would have done this show 4 hours ago, I would have been talking about how we're going to beat their face in and how bad Miami sucks. And, I mean, it's hard to say Miami sucks and they just beat us.
Hey, you know what? That they stepped up and they played. Nobody said that they didn't have ballers over there. People are just questioning, I guess, you know, the leadership over there, both players and coach. Nobody knows what's going on over there. Nobody knows why it's LeBron shooting balls at the end and not Dwayne Wade. Obviously, Dwayne Wade was the star. Joe and I break all the rules. We just came into our show patting ourselves on the back for approaching 50. For those of you who don't know, we're broadcasting Thursday night. We're talking Lakers. We're talking Heat. There was a huge game tonight. Joe and I are doing the podcast on Thursday instead of Friday. Why is that, Brozov? Where are you headed, son?
I'm going back to Vegas, man.
He's leaving on that midnight train to Georgia. That's awesome. You might have seen. I think you need to shop for an apartment over there, son. I really.
We're actually looking to maybe get like a condo or something, man. Pure Evolution's out there every weekend now, so gotta do something, dude.
There it is, man. Let's drop some music on these folks and just make it official. Let's talk that NBA player. Man, it's tough. It's tough. We hit the road, go down to Miami. We thought we were going to run right through them. I'm not saying those guys weren't going to put up a fight. I didn't think they were going to take us down in the fourth quarter. It's exactly what they did. Dwayne Wade leading the way, ending the Lakers streak at 8, Joseph. These things happen. I mean, honestly, I thought it was going to 11 or 12. I thought we were going to do the do on Dallas a little bit. There's two other games going on right now. One of them is the team that we're trying to leave in the dust, the Mavericks. Doesn't look like we're leaving them in the dust tonight. We drop one, Joseph. Mavericks pounding the Knicks going into the fourth quarter, 99-85. I don't know, man. Let's talk to the fans about that 2 seed. We're both on record saying the Lakers are taking it. What do you think we're going to see in the next week from the Lakers and the Mavs?
Well, I'll tell you, man, tonight's game, you know, we talked about the whole MVP race and whatnot, and, I mean, tonight's game goes with what I was saying, man. I don't think Kobe's winning the MVP. We need to win games like this for him to win the MVP. And as far as where our, you know, the standings are going to be, I'm still sticking by the fact that I think the Lakers will end up with the number 2 seed. I think the game against the Mavs we got coming up here is going to be a huge test because, you know, how are we going to bounce back from this? Lakers this season have shown they lose one and then they lose two or three after that, and it's not a normal, typical Laker team. So are we going to bounce from this? Are we going to get all bummed out and start thinking we're not that great? I mean, we got the Mavs at their place on Saturday. Obviously, these are our number one team that we have in our sights to jump over. as far as the standings. Then on Monday, we got Orlando. I mean, realistically, like I said, this is a big, big, tough thing for us. If we can get through these next two games, I think it says a lot. But if we drop the next two and then we have 4 days to think about it, I mean, that's just not good. You know, we really need to pull ourselves together, right the ship, go in there, beat up on Dallas, come home, beat up on Orlando, have 3 or 4 days to really think about, wow, you know, this is a second-half team, this is what we're doing, and get this thing going again. Because, I mean, when you get through with Minnesota, man, I mean, you look at the rest of the schedule. We talked about it last week. There's no really easy games left. I mean, Utah's not that great. But other than Golden State, you know, they have some players. Sacramento, last game of the season. I mean, yeah, it is in Sacramento, so that could be a tough game. But other than that, man, we got a lot of ballers and a lot of really good teams on the horizon. So, for me, I think we really got to get through these next two games. Let's not have a letdown. Obviously, tonight was. And hopefully we can turn this thing back around.
This is why win streaks don't always go into the double digit. I mean, you don't see teams just rattling off 10, 15, 20-game win streaks like it's a joke. Look at the Lakers' schedule, ladies and gentlemen, and you'll figure out why this thing happened. We're on the road a lot. I mean, we're just doing the do. We're hopping around. We're at Minnesota. We came home. We came home from Minnesota to play Charlotte and then hit the road again. San Antonio, Atlanta, Georgia, and then Miami. We dropped that Miami game. We're on a plane to Dallas. We'll be playing Saturday night, another huge game. It's the way it goes. I mean, this is what happens. I think we're just going to pick up and chug along. Joseph is a little noncommittal. He's hoping and he's praying. I mean, I think Joe knows as well as I do that this is what's going to happen. We're going to drop to Miami. It's possible that Dallas could run us off their home floor. We got to regain our stuff at home. We get Orlando. We get Minnesota. We get Portland. We get Phoenix. Those are teams that always give us a tough run. If we can go 4-0 at home, that's how you get it done. But yeah, I mean, I really want this Dallas game, Joseph. I don't know that it's a must win. Like I said last week, we don't have any must wins on the calendar. Everything is for seeding now. Which game do you think is bigger, the at Dallas game on Saturday or that huge Orlando game on Monday night at home?
I think this Dallas game is a must win. I mean, we're one game back. They're going to win tonight. We're going to be 2 games back or 1.5 games back. We lose on Saturday. I mean, it just puts us further away from them. And the way that they've been playing lately, I don't know when Caron Butler's coming back or if he is. I haven't really looked up on that with him. But, I mean, if they get him back anytime soon, that is a really good team, and we definitely don't want to be behind them as far as the playoff seeding is concerned. We want to be in that number 2 spot. Heck, we want to be in the number 1 spot, but we need San Antonio to start losing in order for that to happen. But besides the fact that Miami came out and beat us tonight, man, I think we should definitely touch on how bad they've been lately. I mean, you look at their end of games and 4 in a row that to lose them late like that. Tonight they could have lost this game late. It was tied with 2 minutes left, and obviously we all saw what happened. They scored 6, and we scored nothing. So they definitely took it to us. Kobe losing that ball there at the end for the breakaway for LeBron was rough to watch. But you know, I'm honestly thinking that they need a new coach, man. I don't the Spoelstra guy that they got. I mean, I don't really feel like he's doing a good job. He's a freaking idiot for coming out and saying that they were crying in the locker room. We all see what kind of drama that caused. I mean, come on, dude. He's not the Zen master, dude. You didn't get people where you wanted to get them. I mean, you have Phil Jackson say something like that, people take it with a grain of salt because they know that he's trying to get in the guy's head. And you have Spoelstra saying that people are crying in the locker room. It makes everyone, first off, even if people were weeping like babies in the locker room, you don't say it. You don't come out and throw your team under the bus and make them look terrible. And then now that's all people are talking about. So to me, Spoelstra's gone. Win or lose this season, he's out of there. They got to get a coach that can control that team. I've been watching a lot of SportsCenter. Unfortunately, all they freaking talk about is the Heat. And you see a lot of stuff where guys are out of position. Guys like Bosch aren't hustling. You know, dude, coaches like Phil Jackson, timeout, you're out. I mean, they would immediately correct the problem. And this guy's not doing it. So I think Miami Heat have a good team. I think their coaching is lacking. I think LeBron's ego is getting in the way of a lot of this stuff where he needs to be the closer. Even after one of the games last week, he said, I'm not going to let my team down again. I mean, get out of your head, LeBron. It's the rest of the team that needs to be in it. He's got to start deferring off at the end of the games. And to me, you know, yeah, the Heat beat us tonight, so I can't really talk too much crap, but I think they're in trouble, man. I don't think they're coming out of the East. We've said that before. I think they need a new coach. I think they need a couple more players before they're going to be able to make a championship run.
Yeah, everybody knows how asinine the blogosphere is and the internet is, and everybody's going to be like, oh, the Heat are back and the Lakers are on a losing streak now. I mean, the reality is when you look at the line for the Heat, it was really only the big three. They had 31 points from the other guys. Dampier, goose egg. Chalmers, 9. Juwan Howard, goose egg. Ilgauskas, 4 in 25 minutes. Bibby, 6. He popped a couple threes, though. Clutch 6 and 12 from Mike Miller, popping a couple threes as well. But, I mean,
same thing with Chalmers. Chalmers was all three-pointers too, man. I mean, they're not getting really anything else. They're going to have the three guys inside and a couple dudes on the outside shooting three balls.
That's about it. Exactly. That's what I'm saying is that it's basically the big three guys. And when you look at the big three guys, they didn't even really have that good a game. LeBron, 7 for 17. Dwayne Wade, 9 for 23. They had everything go their way. Just like Joe said, everybody popped big-time threes. The big three didn't really go off, but Bosh, man, 24 and 9 boards. He did the damn thing. 4 of those boards were offensive boards. He was annoying as all hell. But they didn't really do the damn thing. The bench did nothing except for those clutch threes. They had everything go their way in terms of the way you would script out a gritty, ugly win. They're not getting by on scheme. They're not getting by on coaching. And I don't think they're going to get lucky like this against good teams in a 7-game series, Joe. I really don't, especially us. They're not going to do this to us 4 times out of 7. And I don't think they could do it to Boston, and I don't think they could do it to Orlando. And like we said last week, we were basically the first guys to go on record talking about this Heat-Knicks mega matchup that's coming. But bottom line, I don't think this win does a whole lot for them. I still think they're choppy.
What scares me is the fact that they brought it up at the end of the game. They were really challenging Gasol on the defensive end, and he wasn't doing anything, man. He was just getting blown by Bosch. That kind of stuff, dude, just really scares me because as much as I love Powell, I mean, that's got to be is probably one of his biggest weaknesses is playing D and his toughness. He has flashes of brilliance, and sometimes he just disappears, man. So that kind of scares me that maybe they kind of figured something out that they can attack at Gasol. But, man, it was a rough game to watch for being a Laker fan. But, again, when you look at the Miami Heat, you're right, man. They really got to get something going over there. I really do feel that this coach is going to be out sooner than later. It's just a matter of time, whether it's going to be Riley taking over or whether it's another coach. But, I really want to see the Lakers turn this thing around. They got this, they got a really couple close games here that they're going to be coming up on. I don't think they're going to have an easy win for the next two. Not to say that Minnesota is a washover, but when you look at the next two games, man, they're both must-wins in my book. I really think that if we start putting together a losing streak, that's the last thing we need in the second half of the season here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say that we were resting players. I don't want to say that we took it easy in this game because we didn't. Powell went 40 minutes. Kobe went 40 minutes. But, I mean, Odom only goes 19 minutes. And like you said, Pau Gasol, I don't know if we were worn down or if it was just a crappy effort or what. What's unacceptable to me looking at this stat line, one personal foul, Joseph. You talked about it, the toughness, the grit. Where the hell are you, Pauzer? Just, dude, hack a guy on his way in. Give LeBron a chop on the forearm. See how far that gets him. See how far that gets you. I mean, dude, do something. Use those personal fouls. Derek Fisher also, one personal foul in 33 minutes. I'd like to see him all over Chalmers, but hey.
Yeah, the other thing I want to talk about before we wrap up the show today, man, I really wanted to discuss just the one thing that's kind of been in the news lately is the technical fouls, and now that they're starting to catch up to guys and they're getting suspended. I kind of wanted to address that a little bit and talk about how the fact that I think that in the beginning of the season it was ridiculous how much they were calling these technical fouls just for guys complaining. But I guess the one guy that I do kind of empathize with is when you watch Dwight Howard and how he gets manhandled, we talked about it, when he just gets beat up just like Shaq used to, and then you see, he's retaliating a lot of times because he's not really even getting, they're beating him up and he's just getting regular fouls and then he kind of throws an elbow or whatever and then they're throwing tees at him, man. I really think that the league needs to address this. I think that, thank God, they stopped with the craziness of calling tees every time somebody complained in the beginning of the year. They still do it, but they're letting players do a little bit more complaining. But I really think they need to address this when big guys get hung on and grabbed and whatnot. It can't be allowed. Like, they have to they have to kind of give the big guys some sort of an advantage when they're on the inside, because like you and I said, now it's going more towards this outside game, and they, you know, the centers are a thing of the past, because what's the point of having a center that can power through fouls if all they're going to do is wrap him up and put him on the line, and he's going to probably miss his free throws anyways.
Yeah, that's the curse of the center, and I think it's why we're seeing teams kind of move away from it. And personally, I think it stinks, and I think a lot of fans feel the same way that me and Joseph do. I think you see that in the All-Star game voting. They vote Dwight Howard. They vote Yao Ming. We've talked about how that's a People's Republic of China thing, but people want to see the big dogs ball. Shaq, Laker fans know it firsthand. Just from watching Shaq, it's a Travis Sham mockery what players are allowed to do to big guys. And I'm not even talking about the forearm in the back. I'm not talking about the forearm in the back when the big dog is leaning into you. I think that's part of the cat and mouse game down on the block. I'm just talking about the hacks, hanging on the guy, fouls that aren't called. And I think you're seeing it with Dwight Howard. He's a premier player in this league. People want to see him play. People want to see him rock it. And when you just have teams hacking him, they're obviously intentional fouls. And the NBA has nothing in place, Joseph, to call them, to give the team free throws and the ball. It's absolutely asinine. Those are flagrant fouls. Those fouls are done on purpose, and nothing can be done about it, Joseph.
Yeah, I mean, I used to hate the whole Hack-a-Shaq thing back in the day, and now it's Hack-a-Dwight. I mean, why not put him at the line? The guy's just as bad as Shaq at free throws. So I think there needs to be something done, and I feel that the NBA does take an active approach to solve the problems, and I'm hoping that they try to do something with this one, because I want to see more. I like that bruise them, bang them up inside game along with the outside finesse game. And when you take that away from the game, which is really what's happening, because like I said, these inside players, they don't have the ability to power through these fouls and get the calls and whatnot, because now they're just wrapping them up, fouling them super hard, no shots even going up, you know? And if, as soon as they change that rule and they say, look, if you're going to attack a player and not even make a play at the ball and it's going to be two shots and the ball back, I guarantee you the play changes. The style of play has to change, and I think we're going to see better NBA action if they do it.
The bottom line is the game is better with the big guy. One of my favorite offensive plays for the Lake Show is when Powell and Bynum are passing to each other. When one of our big guys gets it on the high block, throws it down to the big dog on the low block, and we get an easy dunk out of it, it's a beautiful thing. People love watching the Lake Show. People love watching Dwight Howard. And I think when you shut down the big man game, you shut down part of the NBA, basically. The big man really carried the NBA. I mean, we don't need to go into the history of the league and Kareem, but it is what it is. I mean, the big men, they made this game, and they still should play a role in this game. The people want it, man. The people are clamoring for a little bit of change in the game. Who knows, man? What do you think? Do you think the NBA is going to be looking at rules changes while they're trying to get a collective bargaining agreement done with the players, Brozov?
I mean, I think I don't know if they're necessarily going to be a rule change, but I think it could be something as simple as just a changing of the emphasis. I think the way that they're calling stuff, because right now, I mean, the way they're doing it, it's just not. It seems like they really are favoring the outside players, and I really think that it doesn't have to be anything drastic or anything like that. But they could very well come down and say, look, if you're gonna be fouling and not going for the ball, then it's going to be an intentional foul. And that's something that you brought up that they don't do, and I don't see why they don't. They really should, you know?
They need a uniform rule. As long as it's uniform, I'm down. If it's up to those goon refs to, you know, make some sort of judgment call, like when two defenders collapse down on a big man and chop his arms, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to get into that, but I would like to see something change. The big dog's rule, I mean, some players, Jordan, Kobe, those guys, you just have to see them. But usually it's the big guys, the freaks, that you're just like, you know what? I'm paying money to see this guy. I got to go see Dwight Howard. I got to go see Shaq. It's the way it is, Brozov. What else is pissing you off, Joe? Talk about the labor strife, son. You want to talk about that?
This is really chapping my eye. Dude, did you see this dunk that this kid jumped over the convertible, threw the legs dunk? Did you see that?
No.
Oh, my God, dude. It was amazing. I don't know.
Talk to me about
the whole Blake Griffin. I love Blake Griffin. I met him. Cool guy. I'm a big Clipper fan now that he's there. I mean, I'm starting to get my loyalty back to the Clippers. But, dude, he jumped over the front of the hood. This kid jumped over a freaking convertible and dunk the ball through his legs. I got to say it's better than Blake's dunk. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, that isn't a lie. Jumping over a hood is one thing. Everybody knew that the fix was in. They were shooting a commercial. It's obvious now. If you haven't seen the Blake Griffin commercial, go check it out. It's pretty sweet. But yeah, I'll get to YouTube ASAP. I'm staring at the computer screen watching the Mavs-Knicks score just bling, 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 bling. 114-100 Mavs over the Knicks, putting the wood to them. It looks like the Mavs are going to finish off the Knicks. I want to talk about the East, man. We were talking about the Heat earlier. They got their due. They got us. They're 2-0 against us this season. We're not going to run from it, but it gets us talking about the East a little bit, which is good. And I want to talk about these Knicks, man. They can't hang with the Mavs. I know they can't hang with us. They can't hang with teams with big guys. Boston just got rid of Perkins. So if the Knicks get the Heat, and you wouldn't even go on record. I was trying to con you into a pick. Let's just say the Knicks beat the Heat, Joseph. Can the Knicks make any noise in the East, do you think, or is this just a one-and-done type situation?
I don't think this is the year. I mean, I've said that I think that the Knicks will win a title in the next 5 years if they get out and get a couple more pieces. I don't think this is their year. I think Carmelo is a mega stud. I mean, I'm a big fan of Amari, but I don't think this is the season they do it, man. We've talked about it. When you got teams like Chicago and Orlando and Boston and the Heat in front of you, I don't know, man. It's like saying that you think that that the Denver Nuggets are going to win it this year out of the West. It's yeah, they're a great story, and yeah, they've got players, but it's not going to happen. I mean, there's too much talent in front of them, and I think that the Knicks could make noise and win in the first round and upset a team, but for them to upset three teams in a row, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen either. I guess we're both officially on record. They're one and done. It would be awesome to see, though. I'm telling you, man, this Miami-New York thing, it's happening, and it's going to be a bloodbath. Let's talk about the West Conference. Things are moving. I mean, I think the Lakers are going to take that two spot. I stick by my story. Not going to back off that one bit. Let's talk about it if they don't, Joseph. L.A. Lakers drop this game. Dallas Mavericks stomping A tonight. Let's say the Dallas Mavericks do the do for the sake of argument. Lakers get stuck in that 3 seed. I got to tell you, I don't see Portland being stuck in that 6 seed. Obviously, we don't want any of Portland in the first round. We don't want to go 6 or 7 games with anybody. So us in the 3 seed, let's assume Portland bumps up to that 5 seed. They've won 4 in a row. They're going to keep winning. Denver will drop into that 6. We can stomp Denver. I know you don't like us in that 3 seed. But just talk about the path, man. We're going to get through Denver. What don't you like about that, that setup, seeing the Lakers in the 3 spot?
Well, I'll tell you, as long as we're not in the 4 spot and have to play Portland or Oklahoma City, I'm fine with that. I really don't want to have to see either one of those teams in the playoffs at all. I think Portland is a dark horse to actually come out of the West as far as to basically do the same things as the Knicks. I think Portland could upset somebody in the first round. I don't think Portland's going to beat 3 top teams in the West to get to the finals. But I think Portland, to me, is just, like I said, just like the Knicks. I do see them being an upstart team. But with that being said, Portland's a team that out of any team in the bottom half of the Western Conference, they're the #1 team in the bottom half. So if we are going to face, Memphis or New Orleans or Denver or Phoenix, I'm cool with that. I definitely don't want to see Portland. I definitely don't want to see Oklahoma City, at least into the second or third round, because I would hate to see us get upset by somebody, especially one of these younger, more athletic teams than the Lakers.
We don't want to see Oklahoma City. We're on record, both Joe and I. It's just a bad matchup. Those guys are so dynamic. Joe went to the game earlier, got to see him in person from some pretty damn good seats. He just said they had a whole nother gear. Those guys are just like Ferraris out there. Some of my guys are bumping around Toyota styles. We get it done, but they're just dynamic as all get out. I don't think we're going to have to see them. I mean, bottom line is that things are shaking up for us. We're not going to even have to deal with them. And I'll tell you what, Joseph, that 4-5 Oklahoma City Portland, that is a bloodbath. That is a classic. I'm going to go on record right now. I think Portland's bumping up to that 5 seed. I think that one's going 7 games, Joseph. classic series, probably the best series in the first round of the playoffs, son.
That would be a heck of a series. I would love to see one of those teams knock the other team off. Because, I do not want to see either one of them in the playoffs.
And beat the tar out of each other doing it.
Yeah, exactly. They can just both go away. Would be better for me. I really don't want to see either one of them, man. Teams like that scares the living daylights out of me. Teams like Spurs, a little bit older, just like the Mavs, a little bit older. I think we can beat teams like that. Teams that are young and hungry scare me when it comes to the Lakers, because that athleticism, I don't know if we can hang with it. When it becomes a grind them out, who's got more experience, that kind of a game, I think we can do it. But when you got teams that can just burn past you, and like I said, man, I really do feel that Portland, with them getting Gerald Wallace, makes them a contender in the West. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but, man, they definitely got better adding a piece like that to your team. I watched them the other night, man. They're looking really good, dude. They are looking like a solid ball club. And, I mean, I think that they could definitely make some noise in the playoffs for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this series has all the markings of a classic. These guys, I don't like the matchup either. I don't like playing teams with a star who's trying to make a point. Durant, Westbrook, hell, LaMarcus Aldridge. Those guys are trying to put their stamp on this league. They're trying to say, hey, I'm here. I don't like dealing with teams like that in the first round. I love the fact, Joseph, that they have to play each other. I want to see 7 games as an NBA fan. And as a Laker fan, I want to see them kick the tar out of each other, work each other over. I want to see those guys limping into the second round. I like the way things shape up for us either way. I don't mind us in that 2 slot kicking the tar out of New Orleans. And I definitely don't mind us in the 3 slot. I really think Portland's just going to keep on doing the do. They're going to pass Denver, and they might just bust Oklahoma City in the mouth as well, bro.
Welcome to San Quentin. We're all excited you're here, staff and inmates alike. One thing I do have to tell you before you enter, the state has a no hostage policy. In the unlikely event that you're taken hostage, the state will not negotiate your release in exchange for the release of an inmate. Agree with that?
Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo. Joe and I did the damn thing. Took no prisoners, son. We're going to be talking NBA all the way through the playoffs. It don't stop. Joe and I never stop talking football. And we might just start talking fantasy sooner than later. And we're definitely going to holler at y'all next week.
Same.